Nenel explained, "Our missile defenses are very Russian. Pantsir is just armor like Panzer, but Buk is the beautiful bay tree spreading its protective branches and spicy sweet leaves." Nenel was in her Grishenka mode, part capricious courtesan, part investigative journalist, with a placid Slavonic smile. Andrei Vichek's new essay that the West was suffering from sadistic personality disorder was beginning to spread on the internet, and she was discussing it enthusiastically with Kirill. He was pointing out that Stalin did the same stuff, not to mention the Tsars, and she was countering that Stalin was the product of Western Marxism and that the Tsars, who weren't just maniacs, all thought they were French. Claire said, "That's one of the things Tolstoy loved about the serfs, isn't it? They had their own democratic socialist system that he thought was indigenous Russian." Corbett, on her knee now, was clearly considering. "I said, when I first met Claire, the stylized punitive way she was addressed and treated, including by myself, reminded me of wider politics. And we got back together for a while during Bush Sr.'s Gulf War, so I thought of that even more then." Claire added, "Sometimes I think my own crimes were punitive, or maybe punitive mirrors. Vichek has an exaggerated revulsion against the details of the punishments, though. It's as if he thinks you can maybe shock the perpetrators as well as the readers. But the perpetrators are usually quite sophisticated in their abstract of sadism, and they have this weird, cute sense of humour about it, and he brings inside himself as such without enough synthesis, I think. The key to Side is always his practical passivity, like Proust writing himself out of the compulsion to torture rats, although his sadists are always someone else." Sophie said, "Vichek's right to Juliet is an awful novel, though. It's huge. Like most of the French, he judged novels by an inverse length ratio, and the torture of the women is far more terrible and fatal than in Justine. It is unreadable." The question, pondered Claire, may be why it was writable. It's hard to get past horror at the contents, though. The woman is burned and... Her voice shrank involuntarily. "I'm always so afraid of fire." Perceptively, Corbin put his arms up to her fear. She responded by touching foreheads with him, but I knew she didn't gather him up at that moment in case it would seem like an act of hubris to declare that either of them could really protect the other. I said, "Sard is always more sociological than you expect. He may have been exhausting the charms of Joan of Arc porn. The French always adored Joan of Arc's immolation. He hated anything the French adored, including guillotining family members. The French made him a magistrate and were disillusioned that he didn't execute anybody, even his mother-in-law, although they hated each other." I always found that fact reassuring. Nenel said, "If Russia is isolating itself again under a Stavka, it may not be a bad thing. The oligarchs create a lot of the violence, and they are more expendable here than they are in London or America. And even the Americans are starting to pick and choose legally between them. And the English have tended to handle them with sugar tongs, in this case those sugar tongs usually being lesser members of the royal family. The English are much more comfortable with the sorties." Claire said, "That's because they'd rather sell arms than assets. Mr. Smith is more comfortable with the sorties too." Idris said, "They seem less comfortable with him these days. Here's that discomfort problem passim I'm still hearing." Kirill's phone rang. Claire said, "Speak of the devil," before it was even confirmed to be about Smith. Kirill said, pondering, "He has flown Quentin to the Urals." I sighed, "Mistress of the Copper Mountain." Kirill still pondered, "We don't know where she is there yet." Nenel sat down in shock, also to think, and Florence stated sleepily, as if channeling, "She is back in the malachite box."